All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking with Adam Curry from Unify Square about their products with regards to analytics and reporting. So we're deep diving into this section in a mini series as you've listened in before. So Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a bit about the history of Unify Square and sure. where you were and where you are now.
God. Hey, thanks, Habib. So hi, everyone. Adam Curry. I'm a solutions architect at Unify Square. I've been in the Microsoft UC stack for around 10 years. So I'm really, really well aware of challenges back to the OCS days moving forward. At Unify Square, we've been a company for about 10 years as well. So I kind of started around the same time in terms of Unify Square's journey. But really how we started as a company is there was a lot of folks at Microsoft, program managers and companies that were acquired by Microsoft to build products like LCS. And what was found is that they saw some gaps in the marketplace for customers, especially in the call analytics and call quality market. So they kind of left Microsoft, founded Unify Square, and we've kind of been in that call analytic reporting, device management, provisioning type company, really focused in on that Microsoft UC stack. And that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
Awesome. So, given that you guys have been in that sort of, stay for a while or, in the business for a while. So you've been really good on the link, the Skype for Business side of things. And now, we got Microsoft Teams out. Yeah. What are you guys doing? Or maybe you could tell us about your products or your services that you're working on for Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, great question. So it is true. We have really been had that focal point on, the Link/Skype for Business world. And it really had a lot of challenges based on that world. And now that you've kind of seen that move forward into Microsoft Teams, we're kind of following Pat with that to make sure that we can still provide the same level of analytics and quality that we would for an on-premises environment, obviously translated to a cloud-only type of infrastructure as well. So we have a product at Unify Square called PowerSuite. That's going to be a product that works for not only your traditional on-premises or in a hybrid perspective, but also Skype for Business Online and Microsoft Teams. So you can imagine in the Teams world today, things are just constantly changing. There's new features, functionality. It seems like did a new feature come out in the last 30 minutes? Yeah. We keep checking to see how things go. So we're kind of in lockstep with Microsoft. We're a really close partner with them when it comes to the Teams product group and whatnot. And what we're working with today is really kind of building out those analytics and understanding how do analytics make sense in a cloud environment. And there are going to be some subtle changes to that, especially in that unified communications perspective. So you still have your jitters, your call quality, like your latency and packet loss and round trip that are still going to be affecting that real-time media protocol, even when it's out in the cloud. But how can we start to think about putting that information together? We're now, we're starting to think of, more multi-device, more tablets, more mobile, more certified devices you're starting to see out there where you're having the devices that are just running the client natively, and how do those interact with a cloud-only environment? So we're starting to kind of augment and change some of our learnings and our algorithms to make sure that we can prepare for that. And now with that, and what we're doing from a product perspective, we have started to kind of translate our on-premises feature set and put that in a cloud-only feature set as well. Now, we're still working on that. There are some APIs that Microsoft's developing that allows us to continue to kind of get deeper insight out of the information in O365. But as we start to work on that, as that's coming out here in the upcoming months, we're going to be able to continue to work on our product in that way.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's great, Adam. Maybe just in the context of the product offerings, talk about what problem what's the biggest problem you're seeing in the customer ecosystem and like how you're solving it? How are you going about solving that?
Yeah, great question. So one thing that we're seeing a lot of right now with our customer base that we have that's making that transition to Microsoft Teams is we're starting to see a degree in which now we can start to compare those on-premises numbers with those Microsoft Teams numbers when it comes to call quality. And you would be a little surprised to note that there are certain cases where there is a little bit extra degradation when moving to a Teams environment. But, you know, before I, you know, want to raise any fire alarms, you would think that that could potentially be expected. I mean, there's a variety of changes that an organization needs to make besides just taking their Skype for Business service and throwing it in the cloud. There's network that needs to be as adjusted. You know, if you're in a remote site that's very deep in an MPLS WAN structure and it takes you 150 milliseconds to reach the Microsoft 365 Edge, you know, those are things that have to be adjusted. So one key thing that we start to work with the customers is not only from a products and solutions perspective, is also how can we help, you know, do that transformation off, you know, that on-premises load where you've done your active bandwidth management with quality of service, and how do we translate out there to saying, hey, you know what, as the closest that that end user can get to an internet pipe to get out to the Office 365 cloud, the better it needs to be. So, you know, as we start thinking about analytics, it's just not the tabulation of those individual network metrics that's the most important thing. It's really getting to understand those user personas, those site personas, and what's the best way that that organization can transform itself to be a more cloud appropriate, maybe is the right word to use, or cloud ready from that perspective. And I know Microsoft has really been pushing that for many years with customers. And now we're finding for those folks in the unified communication space, they're starting to kind of have to get a little bit on board because real-time media is really important to get right at the very beginning.
That's great. Thank you. How about solution architecture? Maybe you can talk a little bit about what that might look like.
So in the solutions architecture perspective, the great thing about obviously having a Teams instance is we can obviously start pooling information right from that Office 365 tenant, whether that's through Graph API, whether that's through PowerShell, whether that's through some other variety means of ways that you can make that happen. So we can start you know, providing some high level analytics and reporting where there's no real on-premises components that needed an organization. I mean, I'm open to you guys, obviously, to get to the roundtable, but a lot of the customers that I talk to and folks that I work with, we really get to the point now that, you know, when it comes to putting in more infrastructure at data centers, that seems to be kind of the exception than the rule about what we want to do with our new features and functionalities and tool sets that we want to bring forward. So we obviously see that as an opportunity that if we can provide a lot of value, then we can start to not have those on-premises components and get away with that. It makes a lot of sense for us for what we're trying to provide.
Great, thanks. Great. Mm-hmm.
And so you were mentioning that PowerSuite is using Graph and APIs and PowerShell to kind of do all that data collection. Mm-hmm. How are you getting the data out to your users? Are you having custom dashboards? Are you using Power BI? Are you using some other reporting tools?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Mike, for that. You know, one thing about that we've seen is really trying to provide dashboards and solutions inside of a UI. One thing I didn't mention that I probably should have is that PowerSuite is a cloud application. So if you think about, you know, you have this fire hose of data, and we all remember the days of CDR and QE and SDN and that just, you know, that just onslaught of data that hits us in the face and those SSRS reports. What we try to do is take all that data out into our Azure environment, you know, do all the analytics on that data, and then present back levels of actionability. So, you know, one thing that's always really been interesting to me, and you may have, if you see this, if you use like call quality dashboard is, you know, in getting a list of saying, okay, my total number of bad peer-to-peer calls was 150 out of 500. You know, that's an interesting number, right? And that's a good number to have if reporting that up into like a senior leadership perspective. But as IT administrators, we look at that number, we say, okay, well, I have these 150 calls, you know, where are they? What are the actions I need to take to resolve or remediate that, those to, so that they're not happening anymore? Sometimes those are easy questions, and like tools like PowerSuite can bubble up those things and say, hey, you know, you've got this client version in Chicago, and because you have that client version with that many issues, this is an issue. We can see that kind of pattern bubble up. Where sometimes you have a little more of a difficult issue. Maybe it's between a mediation. Again, I'm going back to on-premises, but maybe it's between your Office 365 environment and an individual site. And you know, you don't know if there's a maybe packet compression that's in the way, or maybe there's a router that's got, you know, odd ACLs assigned to it. So there may be not necessarily a root cause that you can point to in the data, but there's enough symptoms that occur that you can start to kind of hone in on that area. So those are some of the things that we're able to do. And also, we've got some pretty interesting announcements that are coming up about some additional maybe custom reporting options in the future. So things like maybe Power BI are things that, you know, maybe we're thinking about how maybe we can integrate better with that. But, you know, right now we've got a web UI that's available.
Perfect. And then just what sets you guys kind of apart from the others in the marketplace?
So good question. I'll try to keep this as non-sales as possible. So which is it's fun to do. I think there's a couple things for that. One thing that I think from a technical perspective that we can all see is Teams is moving at a very rapid pace just in terms of development. So one thing that the way that we have built our product is that we have monthly sprints where we can add and change and create new things inside of PowerSuite in a monthly perspective. So we don't have a traditional on-premises server release that has the major current version that you have to update to and touch a bunch of probes and update those and you know, et cetera, et cetera. We can do this in a very easy format. But also, just in terms of what's available out in the market today, you know, we obviously feel that with the technical information that's being bubbled up, again, really kind of, you know, latching on the idea of that level of actionability. You know, I'll give you one quick story. We had a customer of ours, very large global enterprise customer with about 1,600 different sites in, I think it was 100 different countries, maybe 102 different countries. And one thing they always do is like, you know, we only have like 8 of us on the UC team. How can we be able to even comb through half the sites to look for problems? Maybe look for call quality problems, look for Skype for Business or Microsoft Teams problems at that point. How can I find where those are? And one thing that we have in PowerSuite is basically almost like a dashboard that says, here are all the problems that exist. And of all those problems that exist, we're going to prioritize that list based on some KPIs. What are the ones that if you had only 4 hours in a week to look at one problem, here's the one problem that you need to be looking at. That's a pretty powerful statement if you think about what you find today in any type of products, whether, you know, on-premises or in the cloud. So being able to point to that one thing and say, hey, if you go fix X, X is going to improve your key performance indicators by Y. That's a really kind of powerful statement. And we've start to see a lot of our customers take that information and start making those weekly operations meetings. So making those at Monday morning and say, okay, John, you're looking at this one, and Bill, you're going to look at these two, and Habib, you've got these three to look at. So that starts to kind of segment out and really start using those resources, those high value tier 4 engineer resources at organizations in a lot more efficient manner, just within just a couple clicks, which I think is really powerful to kind of see.
Cool. Good stuff, Adam. What I'm interested in is anyone looking at a solution like this is obviously interested in how is it licensed? Is it per tenant, per data egress, ingress, per user? What's the licensing model look like?
Yeah, so from a licensing perspective, like I mentioned, we are a cloud service, and we do take the software as a service model. We work with that in a per user per month perspective, and that would be based on licensed users. So if you have, let's say you have a tenant and you have 1,000 users and, 500 of those users are, you know, E5 users and the other 500 or E1, for example. You know, what we really concentrate on today are those users that are, you know, consistently using the UC experience. Again, we've got some fun stuff coming up, obviously, in the Teams environment for collaboration that may be coming in the future. But right now, we're really focusing on the UC side from a Microsoft Teams perspective, from a licensing side, yeah.
All right. And if anyone's interested in giving it a try, do you offer free trial licenses or demos?
Yeah, absolutely. So demos are always free. Yeah. Demos are a part of my day every day. So we do have those that are available. We do have some trials that are available. Again, it depends on customer and size and availability. Sometimes we have with our product, there is some level of setup to be successful. We want to make sure that customers understand that and can buy, kind of, quote unquote, buy in on the time to kind of get that going. But yeah, absolutely. And, unifysquare.com, you can reach out there and they can set you up with a trial.
Cool. So I know roadmaps are always safely guarded, and I don't expect you to spill the beans, but we're always interested, or customers are always interested in looking 6 months out. Anything you can tell us in terms of what customers can look forward to, or how to stay in touch in terms of when new announcements are made?
Absolutely. So again, yeah, roadmaps are fun to deal with. So we don't have any initial announcements. Even at Enterprise Connect, when we were there, we didn't come with any big announcements there, but we do have some things coming up in the next couple of months. I've kind of alluded to some things around maybe other things that happen in Teams today that aren't UC related that would be interesting to talk about. Things about, maybe like Teams creep that may exist, or owner policy configurations or expiration things. Those are some interesting things for us that we're taking a look at. But from a roadmap perspective, yeah, we've definitely got some exciting stuff coming, primarily around, continuing on the Skype for Business trudge, but also getting, really 2 feet in on the Microsoft Teams perspective. And so you can definitely kind of take a look out for that. Unifysquare.com is going to be your easy place for that, to kind of get the latest updates. We've got a blog there, as well as on Twitter. We are at Unifysquare. You can find us there. If you look through all the GIFs, sometimes you'll get little nuggets or grains of knowledge from that side. So that's a great place to look too.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Great.
Well, guys, I don't know if you had any other questions on closing here.
No, I think Adam pretty much covered it for me. Anybody else? Same, I guess, right?
Thanks, Adam.
Wow.
Yeah,
I would say this. I think the one key thing, if I could just, find something to kind of, chat about for a second. I'm interested in what everyone else's thoughts are. I know call quality is still something that we all need to be aware of. I'd be interested in what, everyone's thoughts on the calls with that, because even with Skype for Business Online, I think we all have the understanding, we're just kind of taking that Skype for Business workload and we're kind of putting that out into the cloud. And, we still had some same challenges there. I'm interested in what your all's thoughts are in terms of, what you're seeing on the side when it comes to call quality from a Teams perspective.
I think it's still really important, and the question's still being asked. And irrespective of the technology, mm-hmm. I don't think the question goes away. So you're still going to get, okay, I was in a meeting and there was jitter, or the call quality sucked, So I think, again, as we move to Teams, it's still going to be just as important as it was on on-prem Skype for Business or Skype for Business Online. So
yeah,
that's my take.
Yeah, and my view on it, what I've seen is I've actually seen a diminished appetite for call quality type metrics and digging in. But as Dino said, I think the need depends on the organization. One of the nice things with Teams is I know I personally, and many other people I associate with, have had better call quality experiences specifically in Teams.
Yeah.
So that's sort of reduced some of the reliance on it. And then also, the interesting thing in this space is if any particular tool starts to have too much call quality or quality problems, this is where shadow IT creeps in, right? And users will just gravitate to whatever works. So thankfully, I think Teams is positioning itself well against these consumer and other type tools that just, you know, seem to work when other enterprise tools don't. But as Dino said, call quality isn't a focus until there's problems, and then then everyone's interested.
Exactly. And I would say, personally speaking, for me, I mean, I can't speak for the rest, but I use my Teams mobile client every day. And I don't know if I could ever say that about the Link. I definitely could not say about the Link mobile client. Yeesh. But Skype for Business mobile client, you know, my job was, you know, maybe using it once a month. But I live in that Teams mobile client. I have to say, experience-wise, you can definitely see the differences and the improvement made by, obviously, you know, branching out those services into microservices, the scalability, really that web-first perspective. So I totally agree with you. I think that it definitely has maybe knocked that call quality maybe from number one, maybe down to number two, number three, but we still seen some levels of importance that's there. Because again, I think the key thing that you also mentioned was that shadow IT. We don't want to poison the well for Microsoft Teams, especially at some of these organizations. And if they start turning to tools that will not be named for other things that exists in that realm, that's when we start seeing the confidence lost in the end users. And that then leads to a whole other set of problems that we have to fix through, you know, user adoption and kind of brand recognition inside of the company. So yeah, totally agree with you on that.
Awesome. Well, anyways, thanks, Adam, for coming on and sharing the Unify Square knowledge about your product and services. And I know I definitely look forward to seeing what's coming out in the near future, hopefully. And again, anybody who is looking to get some more information, unifysquare.com is the website to get that. So thanks, everyone, for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Okay. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, everyone.